on the internet. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said that thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's voice crying in the wilderness, repent, America, and hear the word of the Lord. So let's hear the word of the Lord. Please open your King James Bible to Psalm 139, verse 17, where we left off last time. Psalm 139, verse 17. Just before we hear the word of the Lord, I want to give a love shout to one of our radio listeners, Leandra Clark. I taught her music when she was a young girl, and she called me yesterday and we prayed. Leandra studied music with me, and she played in a lot of my programs. I remember Brahms Concerto all over the piano. Oh, I haven't told you. She's blind. She plays by faith, not by sight. What is your handicap? Get up and be great. Okay, now Psalm 139, verse 17. Again, this is in the book of Deuteronomy of Psalms. They're divided up into five books, meaning these are the words. The title of 139 is A Prayer of Deliverance from Self. And we learned last week that sin began with self. And the world that then was, Peter tells us about that, 2 Peter 3:6, he says there was an age before this. There was a beautiful anointed cherub, Isaiah 14. He was so talented and beautiful and wise and anointed and a musician. And he was also called the serpent. He's called the dragon. He's the devil. He's Satan. He's coming back as Antichrist. But he said, I think I love myself more than anybody else. So he rebelled against God and deceived God's children who were in a spiritual body. Remember, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And that brought sin into the equation. So the first big sin was love of self. Now here we are, one time in the flesh in the second earth age, and look at us. What is a baby thinking about? Self. Have you ever seen a baby think of others? Feed me, change me, make me feel better. Now, baby Christians, all about me. Yay, I got saved. But as we grow, we turn from the inside out. And then others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that as I live for others, I might live for thee. Amen. But God told us last week in Psalm 139 that he loves yourself. He just didn't mean for you to worship yourself. He said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And he told us last time that before your daddy's sperm met your mother's egg, he already knew you, and he had all of your members written in a book. Remember, he's the Word, so he keeps books. He's a bookkeeper. And he had your DNA, your fingerprint, the color of your hair and eyes, when your right leg would form, when your heart would begin beating, and the talents and giftings he would give you or not. All of that before you were ever in your mother's womb. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, so that's where we pick it up. Psalm 139, verse 17, God thinking about you.
17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God.
Now, that's interesting. He says, it's so precious to me that you thought about me before you even put me in my mother's womb. And, of course, you knew me. And he thinks about you now. In the Bible, the word precious there in the Hebrew means very valuable. You know, there are some things you cannot pay. You could never pay me enough money. for what I give to you in 30 minutes here. There is, if you came in here and gave me $1 million every Sunday, that would not be enough. And you know why? There are five things that God calls precious. One is the word, book, chapter, verse, and line, the true word. And the second is redemption. You're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No value on that. That is God loving you. He died. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. The precious Redeemer redeemed your soul from death, hell, and the grave. And the third thing that he calls precious is the death of his saints. Are all Christians saints? No, they're not. Saints means a set aside one, eklektos in the Greek, zadok in the Hebrew, those chosen from before the foundation of the earth, who in the spirit body did not betray God. Every one of those sent out in every generation passes from this earth body. God says that is precious. Why is that? Because he wants you to come home. That is so very precious to him. And the fourth thing that is precious to God is those who have the lips of knowledge. Those people who speak the word of God truly. God calls that precious, very valuable. There is no price for that. And then the last precious thing would be the thoughts of God. And that is what the psalmist just said.
How great is the sum of them? 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand.
More than the sands of the sea are the thoughts of God. And look, he wrote them in a book for you. Genesis 1, Revelation 22.
When I awake, I am still with thee.
The psalmist can't get over it. Lord, you think about me. You don't slumber. You don't sleep. And all the while I'm sleeping there, when I awake, you're still thinking about me. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you.
19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God.
The wicked, Rasha, the devil. Absolutely. That same cherub that brought in this sin of self, exalting himself above God, is at the end of the millennium going to walk into the lake of fire. He will be destroyed.
Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men.
That means you murderers. And he's not talking about people who murder your body, but people who murder people's souls by false teaching, false prophets, lies, deception, and all of that sort of thing.
20, for they speak against thee wickedly.
You know, it says in Matthew 10, Jesus says, fear not those who can kill your body. Don't be afraid of Isis. Rather fear him who can kill your body and soul in hell.
And thine enemies take thy name in vain.
Vain, void, nothing. They say that you don't even exist, God.
21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee.
Now listen to this. Did you hear the psalmist? He hates. Did you know that God hates? Did you know if you've got any salt in you that there are things you're supposed to hate? If you have no salt, you are bland and good for nothing but to be thrown away. God has great passion. Proverbs 6 lists six things that God hates, and seven is an abomination. And Malachi chapter 1 and Romans 9, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He said he hated Esau when he was that little embryo in Rebekah's womb. Why is that? We all came from the Father. 2 Peter 3:6, there was a world that then was. We're in our spiritual body. Esau did not care for his inheritance then. All who betrayed God did not care for their inheritance, for we all had God. And so when Esau came into this realm, remember, he sold his inheritance for a bowl of porridge. You're supposed to have righteous indignation. Jesus does. He turned the money changers over. You know, God loves you enough to save you. But he doesn't like some of you at all. He hates the sin in you.
Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee?
Now, this is a quality of an elect. Because you see, elect are fighters. You can persecute us. You can say all manner of things against us falsely. You can spit on us, call us a false prophet, and say we do this for money when we don't get 1 cent. You can do all of that. But there's one thing we won't stand for. We will stand up and fight for our God. Amen. You know, there must not be too many American elect, because there would be more fighters. Why in God's name are we not fighting for the name of our Lord in America?
Yeah.
Elect are fighters.
22, I hate them with perfect hatred.
See, it's a righteous hatred, righteous indignation.
I count them my enemies.
Always know your enemy and know your enemy's method of operation. Then you won't be deceived.
23, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Turn me inside out. Scrutinize me. Know every detail of me.
Try me and know my thoughts.
Prove me. Test me. You are no good until you are tested. So many of you fold at the first sign of testing. Oh, I can't stand this, you say. Oh, hothouse lily, God can only use those who can take it. When it's too hot for everyone else, and elect just keeps on going. And you know what we do? We don't make people miserable around us. We just smile in the fire, and we breathe in the fire, and we come through the fire. It doesn't bring it, it doesn't burn us.
24, and see if there be any wicked way in me.
Did you hear the poetry? The wicked way in the Hebrew reads, see if there's anything, Lord, in my heart that causes you pain. You see, every time you sin, if you sin against another person, you think, oh, I've hurt that person. That's true. When we hurt people, we hurt people. But the sin hurt God the most, because he's your nearest kinsman redeemer. And that sin separates you from him. And so you see, anything that you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing is what this psalmist says, a wicked way in you. Some of you think you're so good and moral, but you do absolutely nothing. That's wicked. That hurts him. How many people did you witness to this week? Your assignment was 5 people, each one. Okay, we'll test you again next week.
Okay.
All right. See if there's anything in me that hurts you, Lord. You know, David was so great. He said, against thee only, Lord, have I sinned. Remember, you hurt him most. Yes, we're supposed to call up people and ask them to forgive us if we've sinned and hurt them. And that's right. And they're not going to be forgiven until they do that. But the first person that we apologize to is our Father.
And lead me in the way everlasting.
Eternal life, eternal life.
Psalm 140, to the chief musician, a Psalm of David, verse 1.
Now, this one is entitled, A Prayer of Praise for Deliverance from the Evil Man of the World. The chief musician is Jesus. The Hebrew reads, to him who hath the victory, to him who gives the victory. And David writes this. Now, in the natural, when David, he's writing about that his son Absalom was trying to kill him, and Absalom was the evil man. But for you, this is a prophecy. You are the generation of the fig tree. You are the last generation, be you 5 or 105, before Jesus returns. Jesus told us that in Mark 13, in case you wonder where I'm getting that. And so this evil man for you will be the soon coming Antichrist. But remember, he's not coming back acting evil. He's coming back as Jesus in the sky. You're expecting Jesus in the sky, aren't you? So Antichrist, he's coming back as Christ instead of Christ, not against him, instead of him. And he'll do signs and lying wonders. But is there anything more evil than making you think that he's Jesus when he's really the devil? also may you be delivered from him. And this is talking about, as Jesus said in Mark 13, deliver me from the hour of temptation. It's not a literal hour, but it'll be at the sixth trumpet coming up soon. We're in the fifth one now. When the Antichrist is here, his time of reign, his hour. Haven't you heard people say, this is your hour? And when he's here, deliver you from being deceived by the evil man of the world. He's coming back as God of the world.
Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Protect me from the violent man.
Okay. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that the kingdom is taken. Of course, it's taken by the devil. And remember that the house of Israel makes up the lot, is mostly, for the most part in America, the house of Judah is in the land of Israel. And the kingdom has been taken, but Jesus said, and the violent take it by force. Okay, the Greek there, to break it down, is the Greek word biastes. This is talking about you elect. You are to take back America for Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus. Like biastes means like pulling up a weed that's roots are so deep, and you yank and you yank. Haven't you ever done that in your gardening? And finally you pull it up even though you fall over backwards. And I'm telling you, America, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, America, repent and let's turn back to God and let's take back our country for the Lord Jesus Christ. Biastes. Like pulling up a weed. But remember, we are the wheat. We're not the weeds.
Which imagine mischief in their heart.
War.
Continually are they gathered together for war. Three, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adam's poison is under their lips.
Now, those of you been studying for a while here under the real truth, when you hear serpent and adder, you should automatically think of the descendants of Cain. They are the K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Kenites. They have destroyed America. And they are the Cain, they are descendants of Cain. And Cain is the child of the serpent. But it wasn't a serpent. It's an analogy. It was the devil who beguiled Eve. And Cain was the product of that. And so they have taken over America. Zechariah talks about this in Revelation. With the four hidden dynasties. Education, political, economic, and now worst of all, religion. And they're going to gather around their father, the devil, when he comes in the sky and call him Messiah. And so they're all gathering around. They're all over the planet. They're even over there in ISIS. That'll be one of the questions today.
Selah.
A musical term. Stop, pause, think on that. Selah also connects the thought that has just been expressed with the next thought. In other words, deliver us from the evil man. The evil man's coming, Satan's coming, but deliver us from him.
Or keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked.
Okay, you know, Jesus always has those outstretched arms. And so we want to run into his arms as he comes and lands his feet on planet Earth. When Jesus comes back, he's going to stay here. He's not going anywhere else because at the end of the millennium, this will be heaven on Earth. However, Ezekiel 13 says, you cover my outstretched arms with your lifelike proverb. The devil's going to come back with open arms, and he's going to play to the hilt the gospel of Satan that is being preached in Christian churches that you're going to fly away. If you fly out of here, you're not going to be where Jesus is. Caught up in the air does not mean to fly in the sky. It means to change into the spirit body when the real Jesus comes.
Amen. Preserve me from the violent man who had purposed to overthrow my goings.
That word overthrow is interesting because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he's talking about the chosen from before the foundation of the earth, the elect, Zadok. And the word foundation there is overthrow, Satan's overthrow in the first earth age. He overthrew God's kingdom. We're all in our spiritual bodies. All of this is in the Bible. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, on and on and on. And so he overthrew it then, and he's coming back to overthrow it again. Each time it looks like he's victorious, the whole world will go after Satan and call him God. And half of the body of Christ will call him Jesus. Five are wise and five are foolish, half and half. Why will half the body be deceived? They have no oil in their lamp. Oil gives light. Light is the truth. The truth is the word. You need every word of God.
Five, the proud had hid a snare for me.
A trap.
And cords.
Now, I want to tell all of you, no matter where you are in your Christian walk, Satan knows your weak point, and he sets traps for those of you who are sincerely dedicating your life to the Lord and truly making a difference by telling others of Jesus and the Bible. Now, something the Lord has shown me, we all have a weak part. Maybe we were damaged as children. Certainly, this speaker has been hurt beyond words, not just as a child. There are wounds in us that no man could even understand the grief. You have those. You know your weak point. It might be your child. It might be your bank account. It might be something else, your relationships. It might be your appearance. Whatever it is, you know what it is. But the Bible says that when you are weak, then Jesus is strong.
Amen.
So don't try to cover up your weak part to the Lord. Open it up like a wound and say, this is where I'm weak, God. And I know Satan's attacking me in this weak place. And then let the Lord Jesus come in and be strong in your weak place. Do you understand that God can use your weakness to be your greatest moment, your greatest victory? When I am weak, he is strong. Hallelujah. I mean, do you see how God turns it around?
Yes. They have set a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me.
A gin means a trap. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 26. You can check me on that one. 2 Timothy, anyway, tells you that Satan sets a trap. He knows the elect. And he tries to level the playing field. He doesn't care how much you go to church and pretend to read your Bible and say you're a Christian. But between Sundays and between Wednesday nights, when you're out there bringing them in from the fields of sin, witnessing and rebuking sin and not cohabitating with sin, and you're telling people the truth, boy, is Satan going to go after you. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy.
Yeah.
I said unto the Lord, thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord.
Now listen it, David. You know what I love about David? David was always between the devil and the deep blue sea because he's a man of God. The devil was always sending someone to kill him. I mean, everybody would forsake him. There he would be all by himself, and he would say, help, Lord. Then we tell Lord, do you see this? Don't you see the alligators all around? They're already nipping at my shoe, and there's no way to get out of this thing. And then he would think of God's word. He loved Leviticus. I love thy law. He would read the word of God, or had it memorized. They had to memorize it. He would say it out of his heart, about, and he would believe it in his heart, because faith comes by hearing. Then his faith would start rising up. And listen to him. He's going to praise God as though he already has the victory.
Amen.
Faith is an act. Once you pray for the thing, act like you got it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 7. Oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation.
Let's say it. Oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Again. Oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Please memorize that. The next time you get down, say it out. In the name of Jesus, it is written. Oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You know, salvation means help aid, healing, supply, anything you need.
Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle.
Now, if you've ever been attacked, this speaker has, the first thing you do is cover your head. They can wham away on the rest of your body, but you try to protect your head. And Ephesians 6 says to put on the helmet of salvation. And Paul says that women, you better have your head covered. But it doesn't just mean, it does not mean, let me say, it does not mean hair, and it does not mean a hat. And women are the body of Christ, men and women. What he's saying, when this violent one comes, he's having his fallen angels. They're going to be preachers in the false pulpit pretending to be Christian. They're great lookers. And he means all of you, so you won't be deceived, have your head covered with the word of God, the seal of God in your forehead, the seal number 7. Not the seal number 6. 6 is the devil. That would be the lie in your head. If you have the truth covered over your head, you will not be deceived. No, it's not talking about hair or hat. Cover yourself with the word of God.
8. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah.
Selah, stop, pause, think on that. Now, when the Antichrist comes in the sky with his entourage, beautiful, beautiful, doing signs and lightning, and all the world will see him, and all the news people, all these major networks will say, oh my God, it's Jesus coming. And he's going to land his feet in Jerusalem, and he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God. He will say he is Christ. He's calling himself Theosata in the group, God's Savior, and half the Christians will think he's Jesus. He would do signs and lying wonders. There was another time he exalted himself all above God. That was in Isaiah 14. He was called Lucifer then, and that means a morning star. He was so beautiful, so talented. He had worked his way up to the highest position in heaven. He was the covering cherub. But he became narcissistic, fell in love with himself, and betrayed God. And he overthrew the kingdom of God in heaven, and thus sin entered into the equation. Do you see self there? And look what we have to fight so hard in the body of Christ. Self, self, self. The sin of America is self. We are a narcissistic nation. Listen, people, die to yourself. Let Jesus take over, and he'll make yourself happier.
Now, as for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them.
David knew God's law of reciprocity. Now listen, everybody, the world is round and it's going around, and here you stand. Now you send out hate, you send out hate mail, you send out lies, you send out hurt, you send out all kind of evil. But the world's going around. So that debris, that mess is going around. But it doesn't just come back like that. It picks up more, multiply. And it's going to knock you down. It's coming right back to you. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And when you reap, you reap it multiplied. So let's sow love. Let's sow kindness. Let's cry for other people, so when we cry, somebody will cry for us. Let us sow money into God's kingdom. Let us sow the word of God. Let us sow truth. Let us sow freedom to America.
Him, let burning coals fall upon them.
I love David. See, David's not a wimp. I mean, there's a time for the enemy to have it. I mean, get out of there, enemy. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29 means let him go to hell, says David. Honestly, that's what he means. Let him go to hell. Okay.
Let them be cast into the fire.
Lake of fire comes into existence at the end of 1,000 years reign with Jesus and the Zadok teaching. All who go in there, that's the second death. There will be no more chance.
Into deep pits, that they rise not up again.
In Ezekiel chapter 28, God sent us the devil. There he's called Tyrus, a king, meaning a false rock. the serpent, the devil, the dragon, the antichrist, Lucifer, Taurus, all these are the same person, false prophet, playing many names. And he is sent us there to turn to ashes. He sent us to perdition, which means to turn to ashes. He is the man of sin.
11, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth.
Evil speaker means a false witness. Now that's very interesting. Of course, he's coming back as the false Christ, so that's what he's talking about. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, God gave Moses this law. He said, if someone falsely accuses another of some kind of a bad deed, let's say murder, he said, take the person who's the accuser, not before secular judges, but before the priest, people who are called of God, and let them check all of the evidence. And if the accuser is found to be a false prophet, let the penalty be upon them that would have been on the other. What you reap, what you sow.
Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him.
Satan's overthrowing God's kingdom in the first earth age and now going to try to overthrow it again. But he's going to be overthrown, thrown over into the lake of fire. Yay.
12, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted.
That does not mean sick. It means the humble and the meek, those of us who will not be deceived. God is going to be right here with us. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
And the right of the poor. 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name.
The righteous means the upright, the Zadok. When Jesus then comes after that hour of temptation of the Antichrist, only the elect will go around Jesus, nobody else. I don't care how big the church is, except you wait for Jesus, you won't go around him. And we'll give thanks to him that he gave us his word so we were not deceived.
The upright shall dwell in thy presence.
Upright, that's the Zadok. And in the millennium time, Ezekiel 40, on to the end of that, Ezekiel 44, it says the upright, the Zadok, the elect, will dwell right there around Jesus in his same presence and will be teachers during the millennium. And then the upright will dwell right beside him in his place all forevermore.
Psalm 141, a Psalm of David, verse 1.
I'll go just Lord, one verse. Now this one is prayer and praise of David. I'll just go a couple of verses.
Cry unto thee, make haste unto me.
Now, of course, once again, he's crying out because his son Absalom is trying to kill him. David was a mighty warrior. He could have stayed in Jerusalem when his son stole the hearts of the people and stole the throne. But David loved the people more than himself, and he knew it would cause a civil war. So he didn't think of himself. He took a few ragtag men, and they went and camped on the east side of Jordan. But he needs help. It's not fun to be cast out.
Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee, to let my prayer be set before thee as incense.
In the Old Testament, before the Lamb of God who paid the sin debt, Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us, before Jesus came and paid the sin sacrifice once and for all, God had told Moses to have the sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and the blood was a type of Jesus. They had the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And the Old Testament says that that incense, when it was a pure sacrifice for their sins, the incense would go up to God's nostrils, and it would smell sweet, a sweet-smelling savor like a perfume. The book of Revelation says the prayers of the saints are like a sweet-smelling savor. I truly believe that every Wednesday night when we fall on our faces and cry out for Jesus and the Bible to be restored to America, I believe our prayers are like a sweet-smelling fragrance. Remember that when you pray. Now, we'll stop right there this week and begin right there next time. I do pray the word has blessed you, but now it's time for Mystery Moment. Now, remember that Jesus comes at the last action, seventh trump. lights, camera, action. The Antichrist comes very soon. It's almost time. He could come any moment, really, at the sixth trump. But it's now the fifth trumpet, which is a time of learning. Joel said, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers to unravel the mystery of God. Dear Sherry Trumpet, is there anything in the Bible about ISIS? Absolutely. Revelation 9, the locust army, and Joel, the four stages of the locust army. Now, the word locust in the manuscripts reads Arabic, Arab. The locust army are called swarmers. They're not locusts, it's a description, locust swarm. It began, what did I tell you it means in the manuscripts? Arabic, Arab, the Arab Spring. And in Joel it says, each one of those stages devours the next stage. See, have you watched them on the news? They get stronger and stronger and stronger. And now they are ISIS. There you got, locust army. Do you know what? In Revelation 9, God has already told them and told the king in the bottomless pit, who's Satan, don't you touch any person who's got the seal of God in their forehead. That's having your head covered with the word of God, the truth in your forehead. Hallelujah. Dear Sherry, please teach Revelation on the radio. Well, you've got your request. I've already prayed about this. And if God provides me the money to keep going here, I'm going to teach Revelation just as soon as I complete this book of Psalms. I have to tell you this. A man called me on the phone. He was from out of town. He got me on the radio. And he said, that's the most outstanding thing I've ever heard. He said, that's the best I've ever heard. That's amazing. He said, I hope they pay you good money. I said, no, I pay them. Mr. Guys, it's Dr. Paul. I hope you're listening there. Okay. Dear Sherry, where in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance can I find the word Mamzar? I know you told us that in Deuteronomy when it says bastard, it does not mean a baby born out of wedlock. It means something else, and you said Mamzar. How can I find this? Now, make sure you go to the Hebrew text of your Strong. See, many times people go to the wrong one. There's Greek, there's Chaldee, and there's Hebrew. Go to the Hebrew, and it's number 4464. Three fours and 1 6, 4464. A Mamzar is a child that is a product of two parents of two different races. That's what it says. Okay, dear Sherry, is President Obama mentioned in the Bible? Absolutely. You didn't think that God would not put in the Bible at the end time where the 10 tribes of Israel reside, something about the leader. When I was teaching the book of Daniel, there are figures of speech and analogies all the way from Daniel of world leaders, evil and good, who come on the scene. And it gets up to the end times, and it even talks about Iran. Okay, y'all know about Iran. And the next one is Daniel 11:20, a raiser of taxes, the highest state of the land, and the glory of the kingdom, meaning he came in as a Messiah. You can read at home what happens to him. Which leads to the next question. Then is President Obama a sign of the end of this age? Yes. Daniel 11:21 says, and then the vile one appears, the violent man of whom we studied today in Psalm 140, the Antichrist. So we're very close. Here is President Obama, and here is the Antichrist. I tell you, when the fifth trump, better wake up. Okay. Dear Sherry, we understand that God says that homosexuality is a sin. We know God would save them and love them. But is that a greater sin than a man and woman living out of wedlock? No. Read Revelation 21, verse 8 at home. Revelation 21, verse 8. There are all kinds of sinners listing there who are going to go into hell, it says, God's word says. There are quite a few. And one, of course, is that sometimes the words like sorceress means drug pushers. You have to understand what it means. He counts it equal homosexuality, the effeminate, with those who have sex outside of wedlock. See, that's been, all those sins can be forgiven, by the way, but if they're not forgiven, they will go into the lake of fire, Revelation 21, 8. Now, what's happened with men and women living together, the sin has been so dumbed down in America that our conscience has become cold. We think it's sweet and nice. And usually they say, we're going to get married. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, get married. But you might not be supposed to get married. You might be supposed to split. And I'll leave it there. I counsel a lot of people, so we see a lot of things here. Okay, dear Sherry, the Apostle Paul said he was beaten with 40 stripes. One, and he said, thrice was I beaten. What does he mean? Well, they had a rule. You could only be beaten 39 stripes, lest the 41 kill you. But the way they did that, they had this big whip, and they put 13 ropes on the whip. And each one of those 13 ropes had sharp things that would just rip your liver out. And so they would do the 13 ropes. They had an art to do it so that when they hit you even one time, it was 13 all over your body at one time, scraping it there. So he did the 13 ropes three times. What's 3 and 13? 39. That's what he meant. Now for those of you who are sick, let me pray for you. Jesus still heals. My Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I ask, Father God, that you send your word and heal. Let all of the pain be gone. Let miracles, signs, and wonders be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Let depression be gone. Let brains and memories come back. Let fibromyalgia be gone. Let cancers and kidneys and bladders be healed. Let people take up their bed and arise and walk. Let hearts be made whole. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed. Now the greatest healing of all is to be saved. May the Holy Spirit convict you of your sin, and may the Lord draw you to call on his name as we pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent.
I repent.
Please forgive me for every sin.
Please forgive me for every sin.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood for my sins.
Shed his blood for my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord.
Save me, Lord.
I need you so much.
I need you so much.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Be my first love.
Be my first love.
I belong to you.
I belong to
grow
you.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
Spirit.
Lead
me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy
Spirit. Use me.
Use me.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I will.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now my announcer is about to give you my telephone number at the end of this program. And if you were saved, then you might like to call and leave that on my voicemail. Or if you need have a prayer request, feel free to call me. If these programs are blessing you, feel free to call me. I invite you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m. For word and prayer. And come Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. for word and prayer. 5 p.m. Sunday, 6:30 Wednesday here at my school, Sherry Medlock School, 916 Florida Avenue, Cocoa, Florida. Now, I love each one of you, and my prayers and thoughts are with you. Those of you who are calling, for every one of you who call, you are on my daily list. You are loved. You have been adopted by this person. Now listen to this. You go out this week and tell someone of Jesus. Do not associate with sin. That does not mean you hate the sinner. But if you agree with them, you are just as guilty as they. Come out from among them and be you separate. 1 Corinthians 4, he said, be set apart. come out from among them. Do not associate with them, Paul says. You're not better than they. Rebuke them. Tell them you love them. But do not enable sinners. If you do, that's probably what's hindering your blessing, Christians. Check it out. There's a fine line between loving people and witnessing and then just sitting and smiling at them. They think, you know, when you sit and smile at sin, that means you agree. So you know you're fighters, so you better get up and fight. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. I want all of you to keep studying God's Word. I want you to overcome the temptation of the Antichrist coming soon. And when you are discouraged, shake it off and think of Jesus. You know, I used to teach manners here in my school. The very last sign of a well-bred, well-mannered person, and all Christians should be, is that we know it is our responsibility not to make other people miserable. We are the light of the world. So lighten up the world a little bit. And lighten up. Now, Jesus, Yeshua, his name is called the Word of God. God bless you and keep you. And God willing, I'll see you next time. I love you.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
The only one who loves me as I am. a stable cry, lived and died and rose again. Save you for a guilty land. Story like a children's tune, this grown familiar as the moon. See now I ride my camel high, and aiming for the needle's eye. I chase the wind, and I chased in vain. I chase the earth that would not sustain. There's only one who never fails. Back in the morning light, there's only one who sets loose the gales and ties the trees down tight. And all around my soul gives way, even as all my hope will stay. And there's only one, only one, only one. Lord, you are my Prince of Peace. This war brings me to my knees. See, there's a table you've prepared, and all my enemies are there. Where my shepherd leads, where else can I go? Who else fills my cup till it overflows? There's only one who never fails. Back in the morning light, there's only
about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. kingdoms, they will all pass away. But there's something about Jesus. About that name, I call him Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after.
You're listening to WMIE, Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music.